Welcome back once again. Here you are, Drinks with Friends, with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's cracking, everybody? We took a week off.
No, it's been a minute. Yeah. It's been a really busy week.
You've had things to do.
So many things.
I've had a few things.
I couldn't wait to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, this podcast is brought to you by help from our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up.
And Susie Sweet Treats, secret ingredient is love, not cocaine. So yeah, man, you've been working.
We put that work in. We stay working.
Hey.
It's interesting putting on some new hats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, fuck it. We can just go ahead and just say, like, XBK is officially open for business, bruh.
Yeah.
2 years in the fucking making. Like,
here we are.
And here we are.
Like, I remember you showed me the building, like, way back.
Yo.
In fact, I'm pretty sure on one of our first episodes, we did it across the way at Mars Cafe.
Yeah.
We were like, after the show, you're like, yo, I gotta show you the building. This is what's coming.
Yeah.
And that was, almost 2 years ago.
Facts. Now, I am not an owner. I want to make that very clear. I am not an owner in this venture. I'm not a partner or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I am definitely coming in on the management level. You know, helping produce shows, work with talent, come up with concepts, event planning, helping out like here during the shows when shit's going down, you know, like help with the door, help run the event, help with the talent, help load in, load out, all that kind of shit. So basically doing the jack of all trades, you know, but also I think the more exciting thing is to help facilitate dopeness that I've been wanting to see, not just for myself, but for others,
right?
People on the come up for real,
mm-hmm.
being able to do what other venues can't or won't,
mm-hmm.
By really getting hands-on.
Bring us something new and exciting to the Drake neighborhood.
Right, right. And so for those of you who don't know, XBK is located 1159 24th Street, just south of University, right? And that, like, so that, that if you know where Papakino's Pizza is and that whole strip,
yep.
Jimmy John's and Mars Cafe, that whole joint,
mm-hmm.
just down that street.
I believe this space used to be, wasn't this like the greatest place on earth?
The best place ever. Yeah,
best place ever.
A little video shop.
Yeah, we could come in and like watch the movies here.
Yeah, yeah, like a little like viewing room.
Yeah.
I guarantee so much fucking happened in that.
Yeah,
room.
I would not.
Yeah, uh-uh. No.
Stiff
no.
couches aren't my bag.
Right. Right. Y'all shooting porn back here? It feels like you should be shooting porn back here.
Right.
And if you're not, you should probably start shooting porn back here.
You know, make that money. Have the space work for you.
And actually, today we are on location right here at XBK. That guy, Rye, you got the tour.
I did.
What's your initial impression, bro?
It's a nice spot. Like industrial feel to it with some modern elements. Like, the bar is dope. The stage is nice. It'll be a good semi-intimate setting. I think you'll be able to put in a lot of good art here.
Yeah, we also, I just saw you looking through the vinyls earlier.
Yeah.
Yes, we do carry vinyl. We're actually working with Vinyl Cup slash Marv's Music.
Yeah.
Those are both owned by the same like parent company.
Nice.
You know, holding down record shops and vinyl here in the Des Moines area, like in a big way.
That's what's up.
And so we'll get a little pop-up deal with them here so that like we'll be having all of the dopeness coming through, like there's some really great new records. Like I saw that we have like the new like Lana Del Rey joint,
mm-hmm.
The lead singer, the lead singer from Alabama Shakes,
mm-hmm.
just dropped a record too. But also we got like the local joints, like the ability to really work with, you know, being able to work with artists and give them a leg up and actually help them enter the market in the same breath with a lot of the other like big like majors,
right.
You know, like, so any of our artist listeners, if you have vinyl, like come holler at us and we can maybe see if we can at least put you on and
get you in the rack.
Get you in the rack, exactly. Yeah. Like part of it is, you know, is market awareness. Like if you're not in the space for people to flip through it and see it, they don't know that it's even an option.
Yeah.
So I know y'all carrying that vinyl. I know you sell them at your shows. Come here to XBK and
like
see if we can.
The first time, 2018, was like the first time since like before we were born, like early 80s, that vinyl outsold like CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like vinyl is a huge, like the thing is vinyl is so huge as a collector's item.
Yeah.
Like it's more than just, oh, I want to listen to this record. It's like having this memento
because
it's large. You get to see the art. You get to interact
the
with
tactile
the thing.
Response.
Yes, and sometimes even the disc itself mm-hmm. is a piece of that art. Like I know, There was a record that just dropped here locally. Shout out to my boy As Fate Would Have It. It's a clear vinyl with blood splatters.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like dope. Yeah. You know, be able to really press that kind of stuff and bring that artistry to the whole experience that, like, you can't get on digital.
True.
You know, clicking play on Spotify doesn't give you an experience.
It's true.
And there's a market out there that, you know, is willing to pay that good, good money
for that experience.
For the experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that all being said, like, there's some really just, you know, really cool things in the intention in this building. And I think if it were any other group of people, I would have passed. Honestly. Yeah. Oh, you're doing a thing?
Oh, cool.
Neat. Good luck.
I'll come see when it's open.
But the other thing that is kind of happening in our city right now is that, like, all the others are getting, like, much more conservative, not just closing outright.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the other spaces, a lot of the other venues, you know, like the social club is, like, not a thing anymore.
Right. What's going to happen to Malo?
Malo's still there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they're going for basically what they call it, like a marketplace. Market? Marketplace. Yeah. Yeah. So they're building a mall.
Yeah. A tiny.
Right.
Like a two-story strip mall, I guess.
Basically.
Yeah.
You gross. Yeah. Anyway. But that, I mean, being said, Malo is set. They're good.
That's good.
So get those tacos.
Their tacos are fire.
Right.
And their queso is pretty bomb. but yeah, I kind of feel like that fits with the whole aesthetic of downtown currently.
Yeah.
Like, we'll market another option from the East Village, I guess, on the west side of downtown.
I mean, it's not a terrible plan B or C or D or whatever the fuck. Right. But at the same time, like, also you need to acknowledge y'all failed.
Yeah.
Y'all failed in a big
and,
way.
And I feel like it almost would have, and I don't know for sure, because I myself only went to, I don't know, probably 10, 12 events in the entire time it was open.
Yeah.
But I feel like all of them I went to had decent community support, so it makes me wonder, like, what management did to...
Yeah, I heard there, what was in the reports, like, there were, like, $1 million in debt.
Yeah. I don't know what they did to get that way.
Right? Like, if, trust, bro.
Because
I can tell you on a personal point, if I were $1 million in debt, yo!
Shit, I'd have to show for it.
Y'all are going to know I'm $1 million in debt. Right, you'll look at me and go, exactly. Yeah, oh, yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Say no more, fam.
Somebody has no buddies managers. Buying unnecessary shit.
Whoops. But it was worth it.
Why you got 3 pairs of Yeezy 2s? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Mind your business. Stay out of my pockets.
One to rock, one to stock, one to display. Fuck out my face. Like.
I was a millionaire for a week, okay? Like, what the fuck you want from me? But no, we've had a couple shows here so far. The vibe has been, you know, when people actually get into it, the vibe changes, like, in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It's one of those things that when it really comes together and really starts happening, like, you can feel that. Yeah. And I think that's, like, the big thing is, I know when people come in here, they're going to fall in love. Mm. So any listeners who are looking to try to get this tour, come check it out. Come check out a show. You know, like, we're here. We're rocking. We're doing some dope things.
For sure.
Actually, we just announced a thing that I'm helping put together. Hype, Volume 1.
Yeah.
I had this idea actually from, like, are you familiar with the Lyricist Lounge?
Yes,
like in the New York scene,
yeah,
or spaces like that, mm-hmm. where there's, like, that kind of organic thing of, like, really being able to invite people to just come together and be a part of a scene,
yeah,
you know, like, in a real kind of way, as opposed to, like Frank loves to say, like, there's this kind of ego driven thing, like, put my name on the thing, put my face on the thing,
right,
but, like, real talk, that doesn't really sell a lot of tickets.
It's true.
Especially in Des Moines.
Yeah.
We haven't cultivated the kind of culture, like, generally in a way that make people just want to come out and, like, check out music.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it tends to be cover bands. Like, the cover bands are killing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, shout out to the Pork Tornadoes and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Brazilian Twins,
right.
Pie in the Sky. Like, these are all cover bands that have, like, built their brands and are, like, doing these big, like, festival joints and, like, big stuff. You know, or things like Hairball, you know, like that's that big touring,
right.
Hair metal throwback experience.
Yeah.
I mean, they got pyro and a whole nine, bro.
The tour bus.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, they're, like, the real deal, but, like, it's still built on this kind of, like, nostalgia, kind of playing it safe cover space.
Yeah.
And Des Moines eats that shit up.
Right.
So that's to say that those events are well attended, mm-hmm. but it's because it's, like, you know, you're playing like slow pitch softball.
Right.
You know, that's like no shade. It's just like it is what it's it is.
Cheesecake Factory of music.
Yeah, exactly. So like you have that kind of dynamic, which means you don't really have people just coming out in big numbers to just check out a show just right. because they were curious of what was going on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Which you might have in some like bigger cities where it's just like, yeah, let's go catch a show. I don't know what this is, but like,
why not?
I can spare the 5, 10, 20 bucks to like come and check this out. You know, really be able to kind of help facilitate some of those relationships and really create a scene and create a community. Not to say there's not a community here, but how to really like help them coalesce into something to say like, you can come here and be a part of it. Whether you want to come dance and like represent, you want to jump in a cypher and like spit that shit and really like put yourself on, maybe get into some battles, like friendly type shit, you know, like we ain't trying to throw hands or, you know, bust shots or nothing. But like to really like kind of help facilitate those kinds of things, that it's about the culture, not about the ego of like who's performing.
Yeah.
While still being able to showcase artists who are here and really like doing it, you know? So it's like, you know, like nothing's like more heartbreaking to see someone who's really put this work in, and then you go to their show and there's like 12 people in the audience. Like that hurts, you know, that stings.
Yeah.
Like I've been there, that stings a little bit. You're like, we'd put all this marketing together, we'd put the show, we'd been rehearsing, and you're like, and cool, a couple people came.
You still gotta work your ass off for those people that showed up.
Right, you still gotta put on, exactly. But so the notion of being able to actually like really cultivate the vibe in the room and create hype.
Yeah.
It's already electric. Mm. So then you just now start to feed the audience things like, check out this person, check out this group, whatever.
Absolutely.
And so they actually have an audience that doesn't know who they are necessarily.
Yeah.
And they can actually start to interact with their art and their creativity.
Yeah. Build new fans.
Exactly. But more so to build the community.
Because
the thing is, like, that's where the fans really come from. Because, like, what I loved about some of those, the dynamic of some of those ciphers and some of those old school mentality is, like, it was like the Apollo. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't feeling you. Like,
you would know.
they let you know. Yeah. You're garbage. Get back to work.
Yeah. You're not ready.
You're right. Yeah. Thanks. Next. you know. And the thing is like really being able to have that leg to stand on and do that work, and that's how who you see really who really has the sauce.
Yeah.
The people let you know,
right.
Not just say and be able to say, oh, I got it because you know I'm feeling myself or like I put this work in, like okay, cool, but do the people fuck with it?
Mm.
And they'll let you know,
right?
And so that kind of thing, or even that notion of being able to be in the audience and see somebody put on, and go, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
Let me jump in. You know, that kind of thing. That we could be cultivating new acts and new stars right here in these four walls. I think that's dope as fuck. I think that's really cool.
I agree.
So, yeah, we're putting that first one together for October. I think it's going to be really great. There's already a lot of, like, interest in the thing. So I think it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be great. For sure. Then also, like, the mixtape drop, bro.
Yeah!
What turned out is a joke.
And you finally got me, man. After all the years of you making music, you finally got me.
Hey!
With the earworm. I was just walking into work, I'm like, I got that sauce.
We about that sauce.
Hey.
Sauce. Drip, drip.
Logged in. Crushed it. Yeah, you finally got me. So, and yeah, it all started as a joke, and you got the one.
You know, and that's the funniest thing is, like, you know, I guess I'm at a place where it's like creatively, and maybe you can attest to this too. Sometimes you just got to chase the idea in its rawest form because it's so pure that you're not like overthinking it, you're not second guessing it, you're not like over editing.
Mm.
You're just going based on like what feels good.
Yeah.
And so that place, like, we're gonna give you some behind the scenes real quick. Like, we cut this thing like from nothing to mixed and mastered in 8 hours.
Yeah, which is impressive in itself.
I mean, like, it is what it is. The super anal part of me, of course, can say, oh, we can mix it again. Yeah. We can mix it again. I mean, any engineer will tell you that too. Yeah. Oh, we can get a better mix. We can get a better mix, whatever that means. Yeah. But more so just chasing the idea to be like, yo, here's this idea. You know what I mean? Here's a song or some songs inspired by chicken sandwich.
Is.
Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Right.
Well, you know.
The great chicken sandwich debate of 2019.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I'm getting feedback from people that, like, I didn't know necessarily, like, either didn't fuck with me before, you know, or I didn't know, like, fuck with me this whole time. Like, yo, I checked that shit out. And I'm like, oh, neat. Thanks. Thanks for the streams. You know, like, because the thing is, like, I think there's that space of also, like, their live musicians just take themselves way too seriously.
Yeah.
And I can't help but, like, laugh at them a little bit. Oh. It's especially, like, the gangsta, like, rappers. Yeah. Like, I get it. You can go through some stuff. But, like, if that's, if that's, like, the one speed that you go, like, okay, but, like, you don't laugh.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a sense of humor about some
shit. We can't all be DMX.
You don't want DMX problems.
It's true.
You don't.
It's true.
He's a drug addict. You don't want DMX problems. When
my life is going bad, just so I know that it could always be worse.
Bruh.
At this point.
Right?
And he got asthma. For signing a new deal, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
He signed with Def Jam. Out of the pen. Could make some more money. Hopefully not snort it.
You know? Well.
These old-ass dogs. Where my dogs at? In the home, dog. Like,
old dogs. He actually has a tumor in his right leg. He doesn't really get around too well anymore. Right.
You can't see.
No, it's funny to me. It's just like that thing. It's like, yeah, having the range, you know, just to like express different parts of yourself. Yeah. And, you know, as much of a joke at chicken sandwiches, it's like there are actually some like low key like bangers.
Yeah, so definitely got some.
You got that earworm, bro.
Right? Oh, out of nowhere. I haven't even listened to it in a few days, and all of a sudden it just was like right back in there. Like, oh, all right.
So for any of the listeners who have not checked this out yet,
yeah, go
Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, like wherever you listen to shit, like Google Play,
yeah,
whatever, Amazon, like it's there. Mm-hmm. Madison Ray, Chicken Sandwich, a mixtape. Like it's the best 8.5 minutes you're going to spend, about the same time it takes to eat a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Never sold out, always available.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Even on Sundays. Even on Sundays. Don't block your blessings. No, for real, it was a lot of fun to make, and just like, you know, like I said, just be able to make those executive decisions like real quick and just be like, no, this is what we're doing. Oh. This is the hook. Go. You know what I mean? And yeah. Be like, what if I change the word? Nah, fuck that. Just keep going. Just like, no, lay it down, throw another layer on it. Like, let's make these sandwiches.
Right.
But, it's, you know, also, it gives me a nice like retirement plan. Like, now I've introduced the notion of like, chicken sandwiches as a part of like the Madison Ray like story. Mm. So like, if I end up with a food truck slinging these chicken sandwiches, trust and believe they are going to be the best chicken sandwiches you can get your hands on. Might be 10 years, might be 20 years. Shit, nigga, could be next. Yeah, next week. Well, come get these chicken sandwiches.
It'd be a mammy titty collab.
Because we got that sauce.
Right. We about that sauce.
Crushed it.
Yep.
Oh fuck. What's going on with you,
man? Shit. Had another little album cover drop.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, shout out Chill Mac. Half of the foot.
That's right. That's
he
right.
He hit me up. Said he needed this thing. I got him the thing. He dropped a song called Kitty Run. Also on all your favorite streaming platforms.
Yeah,
check that out. I'm doing a video game tournament later today. Did some training for that yesterday after not all week because, I mean, I got confidence in myself. I'm either going to go get embarrassed or I'm going to go clean up fucking shop. Like, either way, it was something to try out. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's happening in a couple hours. Gearing up for Inktober, been doing sketches and shit like that. stuck on a couple days, but we'll get there.
Plug those socials real quick.
Yeah, make sure you follow along. You can check out my art page on Facebook, That Guy _ Rye, or just actually on Facebook, my bad. That Guy Rye Draws.
Yep.
Instagram is That Guy _Rye IG. You'll be able to see all my stuff there. And of course, Twitter, That Guy _Rye. I'll be sharing all my streams and stuff there so you can come catch the vibe.
Yo, come through daily.
Yeah.
Come through. It's one more time. Daily.
Yes, the gauntlet that we're going through. Yeah. I'll be streaming every day, probably around 9:30 at night, after the kids go to bed. Yeah, after the kids go to bed, I get my shit all set up and everything. So probably 9:15 to 9:30 every night I'll be streaming. And yeah, I got to come up with something new based on these word prompts every day of the month.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah, that's a challenge. Yeah,
it is. I should say it starts out as fun. For me, I've received nothing but great feedback from the people who tune in and watch.
Yeah,
they say it's very relaxing. Some find it therapeutic. You know, you're mixing the repetitive motion of ink work along with the silky baritone of my voice and probably some lo-fi beats in the background.
Yeah,
it's a vibe. You know,
yeah.
Get your evening tea or snack or whatever. Come kick it, and hopefully we'll see some dope art.
Yeah,
if it's not dope, it'll probably at least be funny. I got a couple funny ones in there. At least in years past, I have. Like, there was one that was like a dozen. And so I drew a scene from In Living Color, like the Dirty Dozens.
Oh, man, that's a throwback.
Right. So, you know, like, it's a little bit of everything that I do. So, yeah, come check me out. All the pieces will be for sale. You can actually pre-order a piece based off of the based off of the word prompt. You don't get to pick the commission. It's a blind commission, flat $40. You can pick what word you want out of the month, and then whatever I draw for the day is yours.
That's dope.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. That's cool.
Right? I thought that was a decent line. Like, you know what? Let's switch this up rather than doing like that. Like, if you have a word and you know my art and the way my mind might work is probably not going to be what you're thinking for most of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one of the days.
Actually, that's one thing I've always really have been impressed with your Inktober's is that your ability to kind of flip the concept in an interesting way that you just don't see. Like you really come out of left field with a lot of those.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm like, oh, I get it. I would have not gone there. Yeah. I don't know where that idea had come from, but there it is.
It's a couple of them like that. I had no idea. But they worked, so that's the goal. This will be my fifth year doing it,
mm-hmm.
fourth year streaming it, or at least doing it something every single day.
Yeah,
like the first year I did it, I think I did like 10 for the whole month, and then after that, like I started really getting into it. And for me, that's been dope too because it's a very clear cut progression,
mm-hmm.
like, not just from day one to day 31 of the month, but from year one to where I am now.
Like, yeah.
It's two different scopes of progression because, of course, as the month goes on, like, the pieces usually get simpler because, quite frankly, I'm fucking tired after doing that shit like 25
right.
days
right.
every day. So, like, the pieces themselves might be simpler, more streamlined, and things like that, but the lines are usually cleaner, like the confidence comes back. I'm really interested to see how that goes this year, especially because I've been working almost exclusively digital for like the last 6 months to now be back going traditional.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Like, even just getting like the regular pencil again.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I caught myself on paper trying to like double tap to undo a line, and I was like, fuck, I'm that guy.
Right. Oh, no.
No, that's not how this works anymore. Like, shit, where's my eraser?
Oh my god.
So yeah, it's fun, but I mean, it still feels good. Like it was like, you know, riding a bike.
Yes, yeah. Like, we actually think that for me the dopest thing is every time I see you do it, there's a piece of me that wants to like start drawing again.
Yeah.
And I think that the ability to inspire others is like maybe one of the best gifts you can give to someone.
I appreciate it.
So the thing is, I think the notion, and I guess I said it to plug, like, y'all need to go watch this man do his thing. Like, put it down. Because, like, he does really great work, yes, but also it might spark something in you to go be creative and make this world just a more beautiful place.
Well,
you
the know thing what I mean? That really drew me to the idea of it, like, the guy who created it, Jake Parker, shout out Jake Parker, pretty dope illustrator out of Utah.
Mm-hmm.
He had this whole thing of, especially with artists in any form, just doing something. It's about having something finished.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
You need a body of work that's complete.
Yeah.
To be able to show people what you can do.
Yeah.
And of course, as you do this more and more, the things will get better.
Right.
More solid. All that'll be.
But it's great. The notion of
right.
being able to
completing
finish
something from start to
really
to finish.
Finish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that notion, I was like, and that's something I would always struggle with. Like, I have sketchbooks and hunks of paper, like reams of paper, just full of sketches, nothing finished. And so the idea of not only doing something, like completing something every single day, but then having it be like a collection of something that I've done, was really appealing to me. So yeah, and I appreciate you saying that. Hopefully it does inspire folks to be able to, you know, whatever their art of choice is, to be able to do it. Sit down, and buckle down, and bang something out. If you feel motivated to draw along with me, I encourage that. Show me your stuff. Show me your work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always down to see other artists' stuff. So.
Yo, I mean, that's how you really, like, that's how we build.
Yeah.
You know, build relationships, build interest, build synergy. Like, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. And especially as we, like, be able to kind of sit in those spaces as now, like, slightly older artists, you know? Some of the lessons we've learned, some of the things that, like, how we encourage others to also, like get into the craft and, like, do shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm really excited for? Mm. Speaking of, like, getting inspired, like, Kanye's about to drop another shit.
Yeah.
Friday.
Friday, Kanye 2019. I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
You know, it's interesting for me, for Kanye West, because he seems to, I appreciate that it's like his music always buys him some goodwill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he pops off, he says some stuff, people go, Kanye, what are you doing? You know, or
crazy.
Yeah. This crazy nigga right here. We gotta cancel this dude. Mm-hmm. Cause he's getting way out of pocket or whatever it is.
And then
he puts some music on you, and then everyone goes, okay, we cool. To the next one.
Right. You know? While I'm out of pocket, and you deliver another masterpiece level album.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, so, I mean, we're not so far removed from Ye.
Yeah.
But I feel like what it is like almost that kind of whets the appetite.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, he had that banging summer, all that great music that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add the, you know, Sunday Service joint on top of that, mm-hmm. plus the Coachella appearance,
mm-hmm.
and like where he's at creatively,
mm-hmm.
Is like on a whole other thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we've never seen this man.
It's true. It's a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, it's wild because, I mean, I feel like after the whole thing, like Trump and slavery being a choice and all that, like, he's putting his coming to God moment on wax, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. I know we gave a shout out to Chance for, like, kind of rekindling his relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
But you tweeted this, so I'm going to let you say it.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it comes down to this. Friday, black people are going to have a really big internal battle. Due to the fact that we have a near monolithic distaste for Trump and all things Trump adjacent and related, anything that supports him, we're really against. But again, too, we have a near monolithic love for Jesus, be it our upbringing or what was beaten into us 400 years ago or whatever the reason may be. For the most part, niggas love Jesus.
Yeah.
And so now it's going to be like, what wins? Like, do we hate Trump more than we love God? And is this the guy who's going to really put that to the test?
Yo, listen. Like, I'm not so obsessive as a fan to be, like, on everything that this man does.
Yeah.
As a music fan, as someone who's watched his entire career since College Dropout came out mm-hmm. back in, was 03?
04.
Yeah.
04,
yeah. Like, it's interesting how watching his Sunday joints and how people just all of a sudden have given him a pass, even just on that alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his ability to flip these 90s R&B mm-hmm. records into gospel songs
mm-hmm.
and present this new work and the spirit of the thing, what's the energy in the room, even coming through the video, like, he already has the past.
Yeah.
Like, he, whatever weird feelings there were, he seems to repaired a lot of it just through these little, like, 30-second snippets of him basically just having church.
Right.
Which I think is very interesting that that would happen, but then also, like, indicative of, honestly, like, the fickleness in, like, I thought y'all canceled this man.
Right.
Like, stand on that. If that's the case, stand on that. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
And there will be plenty of people who do.
Yeah.
There will be. There will be just as many more that are like, yeah, but it knocks.
Right. Because here's the thing. You know, people have really, like, there are some that get it, and there are some that really just aren't feeling his, like, more experimental side.
Yeah.
You know?
Where it's always been that way, right, ever since 808's a Heartbreak.
Yeah, exactly. Once he deviated from the dropout kind of formula,
yeah,
it did shake some of his fans to be like, he's getting too weird for me, I can't fuck with this.
Right.
And there's that, there's been that desire, like, can we get another College Dropout, or can we get Dropout Kanye back, please?
Yeah.
You know, where he's chopping up soul beats and all this kind of stuff. And I feel like what he's been doing in this most recent musical chapter is almost a throwback to that without actually having to go back.
Yeah.
So we can keep moving forward creatively and artistically while giving you the nostalgia of something that he dropped 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You're right?
It's a modernized aesthetic of what he was doing before.
Exactly. Like, to take Genuine So Anxious, or what was another one of those joints that he had flipped?
He did the Aaliyah.
The Aaliyah one. Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, being able to take that thing that's out of, like, so many of our childhoods, you know, especially as we get further and further away from the 90s.
Right.
That becomes this, like, nostalgic period. Obviously, there are a lot of other artists who are flipping that, too.
Yeah, I mean, Chance just had In Vogue reunite on an album.
Right, exactly. Like, so, I mean, that's definitely, like, the wave.
Yeah.
But then there's also that, like, people don't do it the way Kanye do it.
It's true.
You know, like,
can't.
Like, his, just his vision, his sensibility as a musician, like, it just hits different. And so, yeah, it's like a really, like you said, a modernized way of, like, that throwback while still being propelled forward into something, wherever he's going next. Like, I'm here for it.
Me too.
Like, even if I hate it, I'm still here for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm undoubtedly going to be nodding my head to it.
Right? There's going to be at least a couple where it was going to be like,
I mean, if he, even if he does, like, another 7-track album, knowing, yeah, I say 4 of them are going to be dope. That's how I felt about Ye. There's like 4 that I still play to this day.
There's
like
a
3, like, I was like, yeah, okay.
So here's a little, I won't say prediction, but here's a thought experiment. You know, he's kind of being hailed as kind of like the modern, like, Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
As a producer, he's able to get the right people in the room, especially with, like, a really, like, diverse collection of musicians and artists and all this kind of thing, and also how to get the best work out of them to make the thing.
Yeah.
Watching him perform, at least in these video clips, and even seeing his Coachella performance, he didn't actually, like, do
right
a lot.
Yeah.
Except, like, conduct. Mm-hmm. And he'll, you know, or he'll chop up the beats on his keyboard, and he'll play.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, like, do the Kanye thing.
Right.
Like, you know, where he's not dropping verses and doing this and doing that and giving you that.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that wonders if this next album, if he's really going to be much of a central figure as a performer, rather that he produced maybe potentially his best work ever.
Indeed.
You know, like, because that's where, you know, like, that's where people like Quincy went, where it was like, oh, no, like, this is my album, yes.
Yeah.
I put it all together.
Right.
It's mine because I made it. Not because I performed it.
Right.
But because I made it.
Yeah.
I curated this experience for y'all.
Yeah.
Like, I think about Quincy Jones Back on the Block. That shit, that to me, that's still like a 90s classic.
Yeah.
Right? And he had everybody from Miles Davis to Tevin Campbell. Like, I mean, he had the jazz greats, he had the new and up and comers. Like, he was just crushing it. Like, he had space for Kool Moe Dee, and he had space for Ice-T. Like, I mean, he was just, like, hitting you with all the flavors, right? Yeah. To kind of just show that he was still, like, the dude.
Right.
Right? So, I don't know. There's a part of me that wonders if, like, this next joint's going to be, like, more in the spirit of that, to say, like, here's what I've curated.
I can see that, especially after the Summer of Ye last year, because, I mean, that's kind of what he did with everybody else's albums.
Yeah.
Like, Nas, Push, Teyana Taylor, like,
right,
all of them were kind of that feel, like, because you could hear stuff on it. It was like, oh yeah, this is a Kanye album,
right?
Like, just with different artists. So I think I'll leave it at like this, because I said for a while ago I was done defending Kanye. Mm-hmm. I was just going to enjoy his stuff, but I will leave it to you with this. As long as middle-aged white women can stand Elvis till the cows come home, I'm going to be a Kanye fan. I'm not going to apologize for it. So yeah, Friday, Kanye 2019. We'll be back next Sunday
with the review.
With our good friend Dano B. Picasso, who'll be in the building to, of course, discuss it with us, because it wouldn't be a review show without Dano.
Right.
And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Awesome.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. So, of course, this podcast is brought to you by Android DSM, Power Up,
and Suzy Sweet Treats, Seek Ingredient as Love,
Not Cocaine. Of course, a special shout out to XBK for letting us come in house and record today. Check out all their socials. Mm-hmm. You can find them at XBK Live on all socials, or just go to xbklive.com. Check out the calendar. Come check out the shows. Yeah. Join the mailing list, whatever. Hopefully, we'll come see you through these doors here sooner than later.
Yeah.
Treat yourself. Go get
chicken
that
sandwich.
Yeah, go get that chicken sandwich. Go get that chicken sandwich.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll catch y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right. Peace.